Amen. So yesterday morning, I sit down with Pastor Jen. By the way, Pastor Jen and Rev Jake, they're in Virginia right now. He is ministering at a church in Virginia. And she's being his armor bearer today and going along being with him today. So we keep him in prayer as he's ministering. He may be ministering at this very moment as well. So yesterday morning, I sit down with my wife and I'm having this personal moment with myself. I'm having this fight with myself. Yes, I know that I talk a lot about fighting with myself, and I talk a lot about areas of my life that I struggle with. And it's the only way that I know how to communicate the gospel, because when I look at the gospel and when I look at stories in the Bible, I don't look at stories in the Bible to say, what can I preach to people because what they're going through? I never start with people. I always start with God, number one. And then I find myself in the story, because everything that I preach, I go through and I struggle with, and I have situations. So yesterday I'm sitting down before I have, I'm getting ready to leave. I have an appointment, and I'm sitting down and I'm having this fight with myself, because I know what's right, but yet my heart doesn't believe it. I want to say that again, because maybe you didn't catch that. I know what's right, but my heart didn't believe it. I'm having this inward struggle inside of me, because I feel like I'm doing everything that was right, but yet I'm being treated unfairly. Have you ever felt like that before? Have you ever done the right thing, but yet you're being treated unfairly, maybe by life, maybe by a job, maybe by friends, maybe by family, maybe by a situation? And you feel like you're being faithful, but yet you feel like you're getting a bad hand. If there's any pinochle players in here, you feel like you got a handful of nines. Come on, somebody. And sometimes in life, you got to play out the hand that's dealt you, and it's not always that easy. And even when you're doing the right thing, even when you're anointed, even when you're slaying giants and you could have this close walk with God and writing spiritual songs and doing all the right things, can I tell you that sometimes you'll go through times when you're accused of evil and you're doing good? David was like this. There was a special hand upon David's life. David, from a young guy, from a teenager, he was anointed as king of Israel. But he didn't walk in that calling yet, because God was still preparing him, getting him ready for that moment. And so I want to fast forward to a time in David's life where I believe that he had this fight in himself, because he was doing the right thing, but yet his gift intimidated his leadership. Can I tell you this? That everybody is not going to always celebrate your spiritual gifts. There is going to be some people around you that's going to be a little intimidated by you. There's going to be people around you that's going to be intimidated because of your spiritual gifts. Maybe God has anointed you for a specific thing, and he's using you in specific ways, because his leader over him was Saul. And in fact, there was a song in Israel that day, and the song went like this. Saul killed thousands, but David has tens of thousands. Don't you know Saul really, really loved that song? I'm sure every time it came on the radio, man, I'm going to turn that song off. I don't like that song too much. Well, they didn't have radio back then, but you know what I'm saying. But they would sing this song in the streets and in different festivals. They would say, Saul, I don't know how it went, but Saul killed thousands and David 10,000s. That meant David killed way more than Saul ever did. David was way more victorious than Saul ever was. David was way more popular than Saul ever was. Even though Saul was a very tall guy, David, the Bible said he was ruddy, he was rough looking, but he was a good looking guy. I think the girls probably liked him, and I'm sure they did. And as you know, David had a problem with ladies, not because he couldn't get a girlfriend, but because he just liked too many women at one time. Come on, somebody. He had a problem. But he still had this heart after God. David was a repentant man. He was a man after God's heart. And so there came a point where he had the suspicion that his leader, Saul, did not like him. I'm sure the arrows and the spears that Saul would throw at him, I don't know if David was the sharpest knife in the drawer, but, you know, if somebody's going to throw a spear at me, I think he don't like me. It's just a little indication. If somebody's throwing knives at you and spears, guess what? They probably don't like you too much. And Saul, literally, while David's playing the harp for Saul, and the distressing spirit would leave Saul, man, he would take his spear and he would, I hate that guy. And he would throw it at him. And David was like, I don't think this guy likes me too much. And so he's having this conversation with Jonathan. Jonathan was an armor bearer, a very close friend to David. And Jonathan was actually Saul's son. So he has this conversation with Jonathan. He's like, look, I'm going to go. I'm paraphrasing. They have dinner one night. David didn't show up to dinner. Saul's angry. Where is David, Jonathan? I don't know. Jonathan's covering for David. And Jonathan found out that Saul was conspiring to kill David. He didn't want David to be around anymore. And so Saul had this plan to kill David, and Jonathan found out about this. And David was hiding in a field. And David and Jonathan had this, you see, they didn't have no phone. They couldn't text message each other and say, my father's going to kill you. You better leave right now, dude. With, like, you know, kill emojis, bad emojis, right? He didn't do that. He had to shoot an arrow, and this arrow, wherever it landed, it would indicate the fact that my dad's going to kill you. He wants to kill you. And so Jonathan and David, they met in the field, and they cried on each other because they were so close. And it said that David wept even harder. And so David was crushed in his soul. And David, when he left, he didn't know what to do. So you know where he ran to? He ran to the house of the Lord. Can I say this, that when you're crushed in soul, at least run to the house of God. When you don't know where else to do, you don't know what else to do, where else to go, don't run, you know, don't run to other things that will temporarily give you help, but run somewhere where you know you're going to get answers to life. Run somewhere where you know you're going to get the right people around you, you know. There's something I always say, you don't need everybody around you. You need the right people around you. Come on, can somebody say amen to that? Come on, you got to write that down. Sometimes in life, you know, we want everybody to like our posts on Instagram. You don't need everybody to be around you. You need the right people around you. You need people of faith. We need people of courage. I need people with the love of God inside of them. I need people that will actually pray for me and not put me down or be jealous of me. I need people around me that's going to celebrate, not tolerate me. Come on, somebody. And so David ran to the house of the Lord. He ran to a place called Nob. Nob literally meant high place. It was a city of priests. And so when he got there, he ran into the temple. And I just picture David. David's on the run. His eyes is swollen. His face is just dried up. Tears is on his face. His soul is crushed. He can't understand why he's going through this. I'm just trying to do good. And this guy he don't like me. I don't know what's wrong here. And he's running for his life. And he gets there, and he's just at the most confused moment of his life. Maybe his faith is a little low. Maybe he feels out of touch. Maybe he feels like he don't know how to fight anymore in prayer. He don't know how to fight anymore with faith. He don't know how to fight anymore with praise. He used to write songs, and he used to play the harp. And all this has maybe just stopped a little bit. He still has a love for God, but there's something inside of David that his soul is crushed, and he don't know what else to do. So he runs to the house of God, and he meets the priest. And he runs inside. Just picture this. David runs in. Put yourself in this moment. David is running for his life. And the priest is there, and the priest sees David. And the priest is like, hey, David. David's like, what's up? Right? David's out of breath because he's running for his life. And the priest said, what's wrong? And David says, I'm on a top secret mission from the king. And David looks around. I mean, and the priest looks over his shoulder. He's like, okay, why are you alone? Where are you at? You see, everybody knew that David was a captain of Saul's army. David, he had fighting men around him. He always had people around him. You know, David would never travel off by himself. And so here's David by himself. And the priest says this to him. I'm in 1 Samuel chapter 21, if you want to follow along with me. The priest said, "Where's everybody at? Why are you by yourself?" Can I say this? That when you are crushed in soul and you don't know what to do, you know what happens a lot of times? It isolates us. We pull away from people. We don't want to be around people. We want to be by ourselves. Isn't that true? Come on, maybe you're thinking of somebody even right now. Maybe even you have done that before where you just got into a bad way. I don't want to see nobody. I just want to pull the covers over my eyes. I just want to be by myself. David was by himself. Can I tell you this? That it's a bad place to be in when you isolate yourself. Don't isolate yourself. Get around. Make sure you have the right people around you. David was by himself. And so the priest finds this odd. David, why are you by yourself? What's going on? David said, "I'm on this top secret mission." David is lying. He's scared for his life. He looks around. David's like, "Man, I'm hungry. You got like a sandwich? You got any fried chicken in here? You got like a spaghetti? You got any?" And David's like, "Dude, do you have anything to eat in this place?" Watch this. I love this part. And the priest is like, "David, all we got is this bread." David's like, David didn't even ask for like a piece. He said, "Give me 5 loaves, man. Give me 5 loaves because I'm hungry," right? Now, last week I said something about this bread and I was incorrect about this. I got to correct myself, because the showbread was the bread that the priest would put before the Lord. Showbread, show meaning face. This was the face bread. This was brought before the presence of God. It was baked. And it would sit there every week. Last week I said every day. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. It sat there for a week. And so the priest was like, "Yeah, we got the showbread. But it's actually last week's edition. We just changed it this morning. Listen to this. We put hot bread here. You can't have that, but you can have last week's bread." Everybody say last week. And I'm paraphrasing this, of course. He says, "You can have the other bread. You can follow this. You can have last week's bread, but you can't have this bread today." And that's where a lot of people, sometimes they live off of last week's experience with God. They live off of last experience pursuit or revivals or what they used to do for God, and the last mission trip they took, or the last lesson they taught, or the last experience with God, or the last time that they spent time with the Lord. And they focus so much on yesterday, and they focus so much on the past, maybe even past hurts, past disappointments, past victories. The Apostle Paul said something about the past. He said, "This one thing that I do is forget those things which are behind, and I press forward to those things which are ahead." And so David is now eating this food. And I could just see David. He's like, "Man, this is good bread. This is good," right? He's enjoying this bread. And he's like, "Hey, priest," right? He said, "Guess what? I need a weapon. Because I left so fast that I didn't even bring a sword or no weapons with me." We got Siri up in this place. Hey Siri, how you doing?
Hey, I can't complain.
Do you like David and Goliath? Hey, Siri. Okay, Josh, we got to do something with Siri. That's okay. Siri can get into the sermon too, man. It's good stuff. So David's eating some bread. Everybody say, eating some bread. Look at somebody, say, you hungry? All right. So here's David. He's eating this bread. Please track me. Watch this. And he says to the priest, hey, is there a weapon here? Because I left so fast that I ain't got a weapon. I ain't got a sword. And this is a top secret mission. I need some type of weapon. The priest is thinking, wait a minute. You know what? I got something. Look over there behind the ephod. So David, he's looking. Now the ephod was a prayer garment. He goes back there. He said, there's a sword back here. And it's wrapped up. But I want you to, it's behind the prayer garment. What was going on here? What was God saying? The first thing God was saying was this. David, are you in prayer? Where's your prayer life at, David? Where are you at with God right now, David? Are you praying? And then he said this. He said, go back there and get this sword. But it's the sword of Goliath, the one that you fought in the Valley of Elah. He said, if you want that, take it. David said, is there any other sword like it? And David took the sword in his hand, and I can almost see David go to a flashback. Now he's back in the Valley of Elah. Think about this for a minute. The only weapon in this moment where David is crushed, where David's going through the most downcast soul of his time. He's going through a moment where he needs to hear from God. He feels all by himself. His faith is low. He's not where he's supposed to be at. He's lying. He's fearful. He don't know what to do. But God puts this sword back in his hand. And you know what he was saying to David? David, you got to think back and remember the giants that you slayed in your life. Go back and think about Goliath for a minute. Remember how you used to fight? Remember the faith that you had? Remember, David, how when you came out to the battlefield and people thought you were arrogant because as soon as you came up there, you had some cheese and some crackers for your brothers and you left it with somebody and you ran it out there. And David, you were so full of faith. David, you were full of fight. You were full of the Spirit. And you came out there, you were like, you were jumping, you were aggressive, you were ready to fight, David. And you looked around and you couldn't understand because all these trained men were hiding. And you couldn't understand what was going on. You're looking over there, you see your brothers, they were mad at you. They were like, why are you here, David? How come you ain't back with the little sheep? Bah. Bah. Where's the sheep, David? Why don't you go back with the little sheep? Remember, they were mad at you. They weren't happy you were there. They were intimidated by you too. Then you looked around and he was like, dude, ain't we in a war? Ain't we supposed to be fighting? Why are you guys scared? Why y'all? Why are you back here just hiding? How come you ain't fighting? David couldn't understand. These were trained soldiers meant for this moment. But there was a champion in the field, and his name was Goliath. Goliath stood over 9 foot tall. He was the champion of the Philistines. The very name Goliath meant exile. You see, exile means to be taken away from your native land and held captive away from your native. That means that Goliath doesn't really want to kill you. Goliath wants to make you feel like you're all by yourself and wants to make you feel hopeless. Goliath wants to fight you and make you feel hopeless and make you feel like you're all by yourself. You ain't got no family around you. You ain't got no friends. You can't win.
And so David is in this moment. And he's trying to figure out how come nobody's fighting. He's like, isn't there not a cause? So David, then he went to Saul's house, and Saul heard of it. And Saul began to dress David. He said, okay, David. At first, he said, David, you're just a boy. That man Goliath, he's going to kill you. He's been fighting since he's been a baby. And you think you're going to go out there? Okay. You know what Saul did? Saul began to put his armor on him. He put his helmet on him and his boots and his sword and his shield. And David couldn't handle it because it was too big for him. Can I tell you that there are Sauls in our life that will try to clothe us in the way they think that we're supposed to act. Try to control us, make us think, this is the way you're supposed to be. Try to clothe us that way. Can I say this? That I can't fight a spiritual battle with natural weapons. And so David said this. David went out to the battlefield. And you know what he did? He grabbed something that he had success with before. Can I say this? That when you're facing a giant, we got to remember how to fight. And we got to pick up some things that we used to do. Maybe you used to pray for long periods of time. Maybe you used to read the Bible for long periods of time. Maybe you used to just focus on the Lord more. So David grabbed a slingshot. David grabbed his slingshot and went to a brook, and he picked up five smooth stones and he put them into his bag. And at that moment, David stood on top of one mountain. There was another mountain where Philistine Goliath stood, and in the middle was the valley. Can I say this? That's where we learn how to fight, is in the valley. That's where we learn how to fight. That's where we learn perseverance. That's where we learn faith, is in the valley. And so David, I could just see David right now and everybody behind him. David is determined. He's like Tyson Fury determined. I had to get Tyson Fury in this morning. And he's ready to fight. David, he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? What he was saying was, who is this guy that is out of covenant with God? I'm in covenant with God. Watch what happens now. And Goliath, he's having this conversation, and Goliath is like mocking David. Oh, you're throwing this boy at me. You want to throw sticks at me. And so Goliath now begins to go down into the valley. And David, the Bible says that David hurried down. He was aggressive in his faith. He wasn't passive with what he believed in. He believed that God was with him. Can I say this? That when we're in the valley, when we're going through hard times, it's so important to know that God is with us. As I opened up this morning, I was telling you how I sat down with my wife yesterday, and I'm struggling with faith. I'm struggling because I know the right thing, but yet my heart doesn't believe it because I'm filled with so much fear. And so this moment was making me feel entitled. I was filled with fear and entitlement. And then it was causing me to have bad feelings toward people. It was turning me away. It was turning my heart hard. Why am I sharing this with you? Why? Because there are people here under the sound of my voice that are going through things where you know the right thing to do, but yet your heart don't believe it, and it makes you fearful and entitled, and it makes you want to pull away from people. I want to share this with you because I deal with things. My wife right there was telling me, she began to explain to me, you know, all about Jesus, right? And I'm sitting there, I'm listening to her. And then you know what I said back to her? I said the line that everybody says. What did I say? I'm not Jesus. That's what everybody says. I'm not Jesus.
was like, I'm saying to myself, oh, you got your work cut out for you. I know scripture. I said, you're not going to be able to encourage me this morning, because I know I want to be defeated and I want to act like I have unbelief and fear right now. So don't you come to me with God. Real story. Because when we're in a moment, we will do everything we can do to support the way we feel, because we feel entitled to feel this way. I feel entitled to lash out. I feel entitled to have fear. I feel entitled to fight back on my own. They should get what they deserve. You see, when you get filled with fear, it makes you feel like, you know what? Forget about it. I'm done. Am I talking to anybody? Am I in the right place this morning? Two of us are honest this morning. Come on. Three. Good. Thank you, Nick. And so I got in my truck and I sat down. By this time, my truck was running the whole time. I'm sitting there talking with my wife. Now I am on fire in there because I had the heat cranked up yesterday. It was cold. And so I'm sitting in my truck yesterday. And I just stopped and I prayed. I said, okay, God, I'm sorry. I had to repent. I'm like, God, give me it. God, help me to handle this with you. Help me stop fighting in my own way, in my own flesh. It was a giant in my life. And I said, okay, God, I want to give it all to you. And at that moment there, my heart began to change and my heart began to soften. And then, then our team went to the worship workshop and I went there and met them last night, and God just began to still work with me and deal with me. You see, when we get into situations like that, we have to do some things intentionally in order to get ourselves out of those moments. Don't stay there. Don't stay there in this hurt state, because you'll get damaged and you'll never want to move forward, and you'll stay in this place. Is anybody getting anything so far? Are you getting this? And so David, he runs down into the valley, and David says this to him: you come to me with a sword and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Today, Goliath, I will take your head off. Today, Goliath, today you're not going to control our families any longer. You're not going to control my life any longer. You know what David was doing? David was declaring hope, and he was declaring strength, and he was declaring the word of God in this situation. You know what he was teaching me to do? That every time that I'm running down into a valley to meet Goliath, I've got to quote the word of God. I've got to quote what's on the inside of me. I've got to declare life in every situation. Don't let anybody ever try to fool you into thinking that there's not power in your words. There is power in your words. Don't let anybody ever try to make you believe that there's not. The Bible declares in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, that there's life and death in the power of our tongue. When you're facing a giant, it's important to begin to quote scripture. Not so that we can convince God of how mighty he is, it's so that way we can convince ourselves how mighty our God is. Just like when we sing these songs, we're not singing these songs to God to remind him that he's good and that he's our way maker. No, we're singing these songs to remind ourselves that he is good and that he is a way maker and that he is going to move. Even when I don't feel it, he's still moving. So David ran down, and David reached into his pocket, and he pulled out one of the stones. The Bible said he's with one rock, it sunk into Goliath's head. What if David would have never put nothing into this pouch? And he was facing the giant. What if he would never put nothing in? You know what would have happened? David would have came up empty-handed. That's why it's so important to put into the pouch of our lives faith, put in prayer, put in worship, put in coming to church, put in
the tithe and offering. Put in prayer. Put in the word of God. Because then when we face the giants of life, then we'll be able to, we won't come up empty. We won't come up short. Come on, give God a great big praise right there. Come on, then we won't come up short.
You know, David was very accurate with a slingshot. I know he was. He was very skilled with the slingshot. But can I say this? It wasn't the stone that brought Goliath down, even though that was what God used. It was, I think David could have threw the slingshot at Goliath and would have knocked him down and done. I believe that David could have hit Goliath in the shoulder and Goliath would have still fell. Why? Because David was in such covenant with God that it wasn't the fact that he was afraid of missing. It was the fact that how could I not hit my target? David couldn't miss. He was in such covenant with God. But that wasn't good enough for David. Although many times in our lives, that would be good for me. That would have been good for a lot of us in here. Okay, I got a victory. I'm free now for a few weeks. I'm free now. I've been free now for 6 months. I've been free for this. But that's not good enough. And so David went over. And he stood over top of Goliath. And he took his sword. Remember the sword that the priest gave him? David took out the sword. And David took the head off of Goliath. And in this moment, what was David saying? The head represented the authority. And at that moment, David was saying, listen, I'm taking authority over you, Goliath. You're no longer going to control my family. You're not going to control this nation. You're not going to control me any longer. I'm going to take authority over you. He took authority with the sword. The sword is the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. That's why it's so important to know the word of God. We can't come against the enemy in our own opinions. We can't come against the giants of our life by what we think is right, or what we feel is right, or what we've heard on TV, or what we've heard from other preachers. That when we come against the giants of our life, we got to learn to come to them with the word of God. Take authority over every giant in our life. Give God a great big praise. Come on. Fast forward. David now is back. He's now back in the temple. He's looking at the priest. David flashes back. Now he remembers that he's who he is. He remembers the man of God. He remembers the Spirit of God that's on the inside of him. He remembered back on his past victory. He remembered back on how God was with him in the fight. He remembered how God was with him when he faced the giant. And so what God was saying to him was, David, you got to learn how to fight again. You got to learn how to pray. You got to learn how to get back into a place of dependence upon me again. You can't fight this fight in the natural. You got to fight this fight in the Spirit. In that one moment, David was reminded of how to fight his battles. So you're here this morning, and you might be having the same type of fight. You may be having the same type of struggle. You know what's right, but your heart doesn't believe it yet because of what you're facing, because of the situation that you're in. God sent me here today to remind us that it's time to fight again. Don't stay into a place. Don't get comfortable. There are many in here this morning that have become comfortable in your faith. You've become comfortable in your walk with God. In my mind, I constantly think of families that are struggling, that are fighting right now. I constantly think of families that have lost their way and They lost their desire and drive to fight. Maybe here today, and maybe you feel the same way. Maybe, you know, you're here, you're on autopilot right now, but you have lost your edge. You have lost the desire to fight. And God is saying, you remember how you fought before? Think back for a minute. Just think back just for a minute. Do you remember when you first got saved? Do you remember how much faith that you had at that moment? Think back when you first began to pray, when you first started to read the Bible. No, we can't go back to that place again. But God wants to remind us that how we used to fight. God wants to remind us how we used to have faith. God wants to remind us today how you used to serve. God wants to remind us today how we used to worship and how hungry you used to be for God. God wants to remind us do you remember how when you would come into services and that you couldn't even go through the whole service without crying because the Spirit of God was so strong, because you were so dependent, you were so hungry, you were so desperate, you wanted so much of God in your life, and now you come and now we just look at our watch, and now we just say, when are we going to eat and what's happening next and what's going on now? And then now we're so distracted with everything in life. Now we're just on Instagram, you're on your phone or whatever. And God is saying, you've grown numb. Have you grown numb? God is saying, it's time to believe again. Yeah, you believe. You believe for everybody else, but you don't believe for you no more. God is saying, it's time to believe for you again. Yeah, you can fight. You can call up somebody. You can pray heaven down for them. But God is saying, when was the last time you prayed heaven down over yourself and over your family? Yeah, you love to help everybody else. God is saying, tonight, are you ready to learn? Are you ready to fight again? I know I sit in a room of people that have gone through struggles, and you're still standing. You're still here. The fact that you're still here means that there's still some kind of fight in you. Just the same way David came to the house of God. He was hurt. He was lying. He didn't know what to do. But yet in that moment, God brought the sword back to him. God at that moment brought him back in the valley and said, do you remember the victory? Now, David, I want you to go fight again. It's time for you, David. It's time for you, David. That's why I hear God saying over you today, it's time to rise up again. It's time to remember the fight in you. It's time to remember the king inside of you. It's time to remember the prophet inside of you, the priest inside of you. It's time to remember the anointing that's inside of you. It's time to remember the Holy Spirit that's inside of you. It's time to remember the call of God that's on the inside of you. It's time to rise up and fight. Come on, I said it's time to rise up and fight again. It's time to rise up in prayer. Come on, do you remember how you used to intercede? Do you remember how you used to pray in the Spirit? Do you remember how you used to cry and weep? Do you remember the hours that you would spend? Do you remember how you would wake up in the middle of the night and pray? Do you remember that? God is saying, would you come back to this place? Would you get back into a place of fight again? Would you pray? Would you seek the face of God? I'm telling you, yesterday morning, I didn't want to do it. All I saw was the giant. All I heard was the words that he was saying to me. You're not going to get past this. You're not going to win. You're going to end up worse off than you were before. And this is all the lies that the enemy is trying to tell us today. Things won't change. You won't get healed. Your marriage will always be the same. Your financial situation will never change. And these are the lies of the enemy. These are the fiery darts that he keeps throwing at you. God is saying, remember the full armor of God. Remember to take up the shield of faith. Remember to put on the helmet of salvation. Remember to take up the sword of the Spirit. Remember to put on the belt of truth. Remember to put on the shoes of peace. Come on, are you ready? Let's stand. Come on. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands to God all over this place, the Spirit of God. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for this word today.
But I believe that you are still able. I believe that you are still faithful. God, there's one thing that you cannot do, and that is fail. You cannot fail. You have never failed me before, nor will you fail me ever. And today, God, you sent us here today to remind us to fight. But God, that our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities, forces of wickedness, things that we can't see. And I pray today that we would clothe ourselves with the full armor of God. That we would not fight this fight on our own. That we would not fight this fight in our flesh. Come on, raise your hands all over this place. That we would not fight this fight in our flesh. Come on, if you want God to fight, teach you how to fight again. Come on, come to these altars. Come on, raise your hands. Come on, come to these altars. Raise your hands. God, teach me how to fight again. Teach me how to fight again in prayer. Teach me how to fight again in worship. Teach me how to fight again. Come on, Goliath must fall today.